We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the driving to work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Rich Dirty Bronx, nigga.
Rich Dirty Bronx, nigga. French Montana. What up, French?
How you doing, my brother?
You know where that intro came from, right?
Dirty Bronx, nigga.
Vegas? You know who called me that? Yeah, man.
I'm doing it, right? We were in iHeart, right? We were in Vegas. And I was like, yo, French, you was a... I was like, damn, I'm proud of you. You was a Dirty Bronx, nigga.
Damn,
man. That's what I said, but... I was so proud of him because I didn't see French come up from the slums. Like, you know, people talk about where they came from and the things that they did, but French used to be in the dirty BX clubs and the dirty Brooklyn clubs and the dirty Queens clubs making the DJs play his music. And he was never, that was French. That's where you would see French. I'm like, damn, you came a long way
to Vegas. I saw him before that. Yeah. I saw him right before that. Yeah. When Max was.
I mean, the nigga home. Never ignorant, getting goals accomplished, right? Yeah. It's like Coke Boys, Creation of Kings everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, you already got it prepared when you have to go to
humble under God.
You already prepared. They gonna, if they ever need to use this, this is what they're going to use.
And that's one of my favorite joints on the album, which is the intro. It's called Dirty Bronx.
Thank you, bro.
And you kind of talk about everything, where you came from, everybody talking
sampled,
all
the that ish you about you. On that?
OC?
OC. Yeah, time's OC. Up. Yeah,
talk about everybody, people comparing you to Chinks and Max with the Wave and all that. So I think that's one of the dopest joints on it. But why Mac and Cheese 5 and what took so damn long, French?
I felt like, you know, I needed to get everything out the way, then go back to the mixtape vibes. I feel like the game, I always try to go where the puck is going, not where the puck is at. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the game need mixtapes. I feel like we lost a lot of, you know, it's like that feeling is not there no more. It's like, you know, like albums is dope. Everybody's getting used to it. But I feel like the mixtape game, just like, I want to hear the Wayne mixtapes. I want to hear Ross, Rich Forever mixtapes. I want to hear, you know, Wiz Khalifa drop Orange. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to get back to that vibe, and I want to lead the wave with the mixtapes.
I like how you set the tone with Dirty Bronx. Why did you feel the need to confront, like, all the negativity that's been directed towards you?
Because I wanted to get that out the way so we could focus on the music. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like I learned from Eminem, you know, the tactics he used. I learned from, you know, Jay when he did 444. And I learned from, you know, I'm like a student of the game. So it's like, you know, this is me interviewing myself on my own album just in case. You know, because you got your fans, but then you also got your haters that listen to your music. So the haters going to hear themselves in there and your fans going to be right there like I told you. So it's like, that's the kind of vibe I was going with, you know?
Why end it on five?
Five?
Because we do need more mixtapes. Why are you ending it on five?
Man, because I just wanted to give it my all and just leave it right there. Yeah. And just start something new. But you never know. You know, Jay-Z made the Black album and he backed out it. And, you know, so it's like, you never know.
Oh, so this is a retirement album? I thought this was the end of the series.
No, just the end of the series. Mixtape.
What do you do to make all your money, French?
Me?
Yeah.
Man, I just hustle. I've been hustling for a long time.
I mean, we know.
You ain't listen to Dirty Bronx? How many albums he sold? How many records he sold?
I know that. By the way, that was the beauty of Dirty Bronx, because you put a lot of things in perspective. I think I had knew that you was the most screamed African-born artist.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you had sold that many records.
Yeah,
what,
I mean,
100
I was,
million? No.
Yeah, like 100 million between mines and all the features that I was
doing. Yeah.
I mean, you figure, like, Unforgettable alone is like 13 million. So that's just like,
oh my God,
that's like by itself. So, besides, I mean, man, I've been on some big record. My catalog is crazy.
Yeah. But you say on the album, you say people think it's just your features.
Yeah.
But you the main feature.
Yeah, because, you know, you still look at the All the Way Ups and you look at, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, The Loyal with Chris Brown and all those, like, you know? I was part of some big features, and you know, like, the catalog is big, and I still ain't selling it yet. I'm thinking about selling it and just buying like this building across the street from me.
Where? How much you think your catalog worth?
I don't know. Honestly, I ain't even get there. But I always felt like, you know, if somebody's trying to buy something from you, then guess, you know, then how much money are they gonna make? Ain't nobody buying nothing to take a loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always looked at it like that.
At one time, well, if you know French, you know when French goes out and he knows you, he's going to invite you to his party, right? That's who French is as a person. Like, if y'all smoking together. Y'all drinking, he's going to take care of you. He's going to make sure you're good. Then there was one time where you just stopped, right? Because you said you had to get back healthy.
You
stopped drinking, you stopped smoking. Are you still in that phase and no more drinking or smoking? Or?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. You know, when you sit across from like a billionaire or something, you know, as soon as you take that sip of liquor or take that puff of weed, like, you're already richer than him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I had to focus up. We lost a lot of money. We made a lot of bad business deals. We, you know, might have overslept and lost a bag. Might have did this, might have did that, you know. And I got a chance to make some generational wealth and change generations down. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know, let me just focus up and not leave no bags on the table.
But you have a fear for, I know a lot of artists say that sometimes they feel like that drug or that alcohol puts them in the right zone. Will you ever fear for, like, damn, if I don't drink like I used to, or I don't smoke, that I might not be in the same zone as I was in making Pop That, or You Ain't Worried About Nothing, or, you know, some of those other records?
Man, I've been popping Perks for like 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Oxys, Perks, drinking this 20 years. It got to the point where I wasn't getting drunk or high anymore.
Right.
Like, now I'm higher than I was when I was taking the drugs. It's just like my body just like, you know, it's like in shock. But I feel like making music is a passion, is love. It had nothing to do with drugs. You know what I'm saying? It was just the drugs kept the negative shit around me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people, I lost people when I stopped doing drugs. I didn't lose the passion. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when you drink and you take drugs, you let the devil in. You know what I mean? Like, I was inviting everybody, and everybody wasn't inviting me. You know what I'm saying? Everybody had motives, and some of them had the negative. I mean, I don't mind helping people that have motives. You know what I'm saying? That's how we get our blessings. But there's people that have motives that have negative motives towards you. I help anybody that have a positive motive towards me. So I feel like I was letting the negative and the positive, and that's why things started happening and this and that.
Gotcha. What about your passion for sleeping with rappers' wives? That's inviting the devil in too, French. Come on, you say on the album you talk about rappers' wives. Yes, we heard. Yeah, come on.
And that's crazy.
You were the number one sniper.
Don't nobody say hi like a nigga that heard you.
You know what? But that's where Hand came from.
Because you are.
They would be in the club and they'd be like, you know, people try to do business deals in the middle of the club. They'd be like, Hand. So let me tell you the story about that.
Okay.
So, me and Drake was first working on the record.
Another, you know, sniper.
Yeah, working on the record. Mm-hmm. And the first line he said, he was like, on Double MG, I'll fuck a rapper's wife. He was like, we should start the shit off like that. Then I just took it and I just ran with it. And I just made the first line there.
But what that got to do with doing it in real life, though?
Huh?
What that got to do with actually, what that got to do with actually no, fucking rappers' know, wives in real life?
No, honestly, I never did. I never fucked nobody's wife.
Okay, okay.
No rapper wife.
Okay. No. So just rap. Rap cat.
Nah, yeah, it's rap cat.
Okay, okay. You also on Dirty Brunch, you talk about buying your block, but you said that the Nipsey situation made you pause.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that?
I mean, I feel like watching that video with Nip was like one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he would, and all he was trying to do was just try to change his neighborhood and just bring some great things back and try to buy his block. Mm-hmm. And I feel like watching that scared me away from trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, because look what happened to Chinks. Chinks got shot in Queens. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Look what happened, you know, to a lot of people that don't have a name. You know what I'm saying? A lot of fallen soldiers. So I was just like, you know what? So why come back? Why come back and do that when I'm just seeing everybody around me just fall into it?
Damn. So how did you overcome that? Or have you overcome that?
So I went to Calabasas.
Damn,
out of that's right. I still come back. But it just, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, it always come from the inside. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you just gotta be careful how you let people get in contact with you, touch you. You can't be just easily touched or easily get in contact with, easily so anybody can pull up on you to do anything to you. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be able to be like a hawk on top of the mountain, just watch your prey. Whenever you want something, you just go handle your business and dip. I feel like that's like advice for anybody that's making real money. That got a lot of jealousy that come from where we come from. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It should never be a situation where somebody can go to the block and see you at a store or this and that. When you know, some people, what Jay-Z said, broke niggas don't want no cash. They just want to kill you.
What a name. But even moving to Calabasas, I mean, Pop got In Cali.
Nah, you're not getting through this security.
Right.
I live next door to Kris Jenner, next door to, across the street from J-Lo, Will Smith down the block, his kids walking up. Like, you're not going to get through. They know about that. But at the end of the day, Pop had no security. Pop had a gun on him. Pop had the wrong people around him. I was supposed to meet up with Pop that night. He had a party at his crib. Yeah, we were supposed to meet up. I went to the strip club, and after the strip club, we were supposed to go to his house because he sent everybody the address for the party. You know what I'm saying? He had put that post up a couple of hours before. And you know, he had no security. And even when I first went to L.A., when you go to the hills, it's like they don't have no gated communities. It's just like the fences, like the size of your hip. And then you just jump right over them, you know?
So he was supposed to have a party that night?
That night he was supposed to have a party. Wow.
Oh, so that's why people had the Addy. It wasn't just that. No, everybody was saying it was a post on Instagram.
Yeah, he was sending Addies to us, me and to everybody else that was there, but.
Got you.
Yeah, he had posted the Mary package that was sent to him.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's it. I got that right. So what happened with Drake on the album? Because I know you and Drake made a lot of music, you said. But what happened on this project?
Yeah, we did. But we got the documentary coming out in June. Mm-hmm. And he executive producing it. So we're just going to push the records back to them.
Did he have to choose? Because it felt like, and I'm just listening to Mac and Cheese, in a way it felt like, I'm like, did Kanye EP this? Or is he just on a few records?
No, I mean, me and Kanye was locked in for like a month.
Okay.
He had rented out the hotel for like a month, and we knocked out a bunch of records. And the sound, we was doing like two different sounds. When I was coming in, we was doing the sample vibes, and we was doing the that whole, like, you know, him producing and like the whole graduation sound. Mm-hmm. But then the new sound he got now, it was something that he was working on. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what, bro, I'm going to just take these records. And I'm just putting them on Mac and Cheese 5 because Mac and Cheese 5 got a certain sound. Even Bryson Tiller, he sent me like this Afro beat vibe. And I was like, yo, bro, send me that grimy one. He sent me one. Mm-hmm. So it was just like a certain sound we was going for Mac and Cheese 5.
What was it like working with today's version of Kanye?
Man, I mean, when it comes to music, I don't feel like you get too many versions from him. You just get the music.
Same.
You know, I don't feel like you get too many versions from him. I feel like he's what entertainment is. I feel like being so unpredictable is like is entertaining. You know what I'm saying?
Not when that shit costs you billions of dollars.
Yeah, we spoke about it on the song too. Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but man, he said I lost. He said I lost $8 billion to get the chains off my neck.
Mm-hmm. Only to try to put them back on. Only to apologize and say I'll give y'all 20%. Like, come on, cut it out.
Man, I ain't gonna lie, Kanye's on Mac and Cheese 5.
He's on there a few times. The joint with Westside Gunn is hard.
That's hard.
Yeah,
that's
very hard.
That's hard. Hard.
You also spoke on the Dirty Bronx record about how New York DJs never used to play your music and you had to go down south to get your recognition. I talk about that
like
all
that,
the time.
But yeah,
that's exactly
that.
What he said.
Yeah,
he said
know, like
that's
me
exactly
me
what he said.
I had to go down there to get popping, chop him down.
Because y'all wasn't playing his music.
I always supported him.
By the way, if you think about the last few people from New York that became big time, uh-huh. New York wasn't really supporting them like that in the beginning.
Nah.
Nicki,
not
French.
Nicki. Not the ASAP mob, no.
ASAP
rocking him, not you.
Nah.
I don't even know. Maybe Cardi, because it was a little different.
They supported Cardi.
Yeah, they supported Cardi.
They supported Cardi.
I mean, they supported Cardi after they saw so many artists make it without them. They was like, you know what? We got to pick a side right now.
50? 50 is another one?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Why is that, Envy? Why don't New York DJs? Why weren't y'all supporting y'all on them?
Don't say y'all. I supported Fiff. I supported French. I supported all of them.
Yeah, I had like the whole Cocaine City era.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had my whole Max B era.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went down south and made Chop It Down.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like scorching hot. Then I was like, you know what? New York ain't showing me no love. Let me go down south.
Mm-hmm.
Then I made Shot Caller after Max B got locked up because I was so much blackballed because everybody turned their back on me because Max B was just tearing everybody's ass up.
Yep.
And after he got locked up, he just left me with the blackball. I was just like, so I was just locked in with Harry Fraud and we made Shot Caller. It was like I got put into a corner and it was like, yo, is either I'm going to fight through this with music or I'm just going to just be like, you know what? You remember that kid? He used to mm-hmm. have mixtapes with Max. So I was just like, you know, but it took me 10 years. Like, it was like 02, I dropped the first Cocaine City, till 09. That's when I got signed.
You think a lot of that's because people didn't take you serious as a rapper? Because they remember you as the DVD guy?
At first. But the DVDs, you know, there was a time where Envy had an artist.
Red Cafe,
yep. It was a time with Clue had Fab. It was a time where
K-Slay had Pab.
K-Slay had Pab. Greenland had Uncle Murder.
Yep. Yeah, Coke and
so,
News, yep.
So nobody was letting nobody rap.
Mm-hmm.
So this one guy named Smack came out with the most brilliant idea
Smack
ever, bringing all the rappers, and he was putting Shay Davis on it.
Yep.
I was like, yo, I know all the drug dealers. I know all the rappers. Let me make Cocaine City DVD. And I'm putting myself in the middle. How you put Shay Davis? People didn't know I was the one making Cocaine City DVD. People thought it was somebody else making it. And they was putting me in it. So by the time the fifth volume came, Akon called to sign me. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't even know I was the DVD guy with this mm-hmm. and that. So, but the whole object the whole time was for me to be a rap star. You know what I'm saying? So I was making the money. We would make Cocaine City DVD, we would make 30,000 copies, $5 a piece. You would make about $250,000 to $500,000 and promoting myself.
Wow.
And so people was paying Smack $50,000 to get on Smack DVD every time.
Mm-hmm.
I was making $300,000 to $500,000 every volume and I was putting myself on there. By the time the fifth volume came, it was just like, so I was always ahead of myself, like, you know what I mean, from the beginning. So
you
by time,
$500,000 a DVD?
But you know, you put it right back into it.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you was always investing for the big picture. So by the time Akon signed me.
That when he gave you the fake watch?
Oh man, shout out to my brother Akon. The second watch was fake too.
Second one was, both of them were fake?
Damn.
Nah, I ain't going to do that.
Damn.
Shout out to Akon. But, you know, we had a shopping deal. Then after that, the shopping deal didn't work because he had Lady Gaga and this and that. Whatever didn't work. But, you know, I appreciate Akon just for the opportunity. Then after that, that's when I got with Max B and this and that. Mm-hmm. But that's what it was. But
how's Max doing? Because I know there was rumors that he was coming out last year.
Yeah, he just put Coming Home on his page. So we all weighing. We all weighing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you introduce Max B back to this era of hip-hop?
He is this era of hip-hop. Mm-hmm. He is the most, one of the most viral. Max B's like the wave guy, like, nah, that's, he's a Silver Surfer. He like, Remember back then, he was viral off YouTube. We would just sit there and watch YouTube and just go ham. So it's like, you know, it's the same thing. It's just YouTube in the app.
I wonder, do you feel like you didn't take the DVD thing to the next level? Because I feel like the next step would have been a website for y'all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like that wasn't my passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You always follow your passion. If that was my passion to make DVDs, I would have been the biggest DVD, biggest blogger, biggest this. But my passion, when I first got it was for me to rap. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I went through them 10 volumes of me like sacrificing and, you know, going to meet up with people and having somebody interview them and doing all that. I don't want to do that shit. Mm-hmm. Just to put myself in the middle, but I had to sacrifice. I had to give people what they know until they knew me. And once they did that, I was like, okay, cool. Now let's take over this rap thing. I ain't got to call nobody no more. Just make music. All right. That was the passion.
How instrumental was Gucci Mane in your career?
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
When I went to down south with Deb, I used to see Gucci like once in a while. Like he would pop up to Deb and this and that. But every time I seen him, it was always love. And he came to my video shoot. Matter of fact, when I shot Chop It Down, he just showed up to the video shoot and he came and it was a vibe.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to know when, how's Diddy? Have you spoke to Diddy? How's Diddy doing? Because I know you were signed to Diddy at one time.
Yeah, I spoke to him in New Year's. Mm-hmm. I spoke to him in New Year's, checked on him. He's doing great. Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm.
You embrace a lot of young artists from the Bronx too. Like you got a few of them on this project.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shout out to D-Thang, shout out to Kenzo, she in the back. They both from the Bronx. Mm-hmm. I got 41. They're from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm.
41, yep.
Yeah, they on the album.
41. Jen Carter too?
Yeah, Jen Carter. Yeah, they're from Brooklyn. Yup.
Right, what makes you want to embrace the young generation like that?
Man, I always looked at myself like the bridge when it comes to the music game. Mm-hmm. I felt like I could always tap in with the Kanye's, you know what I'm saying, the J's or whatever it is, and still tap back in with the Pop Smokes, the Schmurders, and do this and that. I felt like I was always like the bridge in between. Mm-hmm. You know? There you go. Talk about the Bronx right there. They go get that.
Did they search y'all?
Come on, grab a seat.
Get them some chairs. Who is that? Who's this?
It's D-Thang.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now you just signed them recently, right?
Yeah, with 10K. Mm-hmm.
They signed the 10K. Oh, okay, with Coke Boy 10K.
Coke Boy 10K, Gumbo. Okay. Mm-hmm.
How hard is
it? Shout to Luca in the back.
How hard is it to break an artist nowadays?
Man, I think the artist just gotta want it. You know what I'm saying? I think there's no certain structure or menu to it. I feel like you just can't have no plan B. You just gotta want it. You just gotta go all out for it.
What's the expectation though? Like, what do you like? What's the expectation for a rapper in 2024?
I think there is none. Mm-hmm. I think there is none. There's so many ways. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like you could with social media. I don't feel like there is none. I feel like you just gotta have that character. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, those big brother conversations though. Like you know the, because I know the, whether it's recording and spending or being on time and all the stuff that you fucked up with. Do you have those big brother conversations? Like let me walk you down.
Yeah, I saw him in the studio. I'm like, yo, bro, there's no other place you should be at outside of this studio. Like that room right there, them four walls, that's your bank. That's your vote. Anywhere out of that room, you're no good to nobody. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He just came home from jail. So, like, you're out of that room, you're no good. Because, you know, you're liable to get in trouble. You're liable to get caught up with the wrong things. You're liable to be around the wrong things. So I just feel like that room right there, you know what I mean? Like, you just got to make as much music as you can. Because you never know when you're going to make that one record that's going to change your life forever.
And how do you deal with the artists now? Because you've seen everything. I mean, you didn't see shootouts. You didn't see death. You didn't see so much because you've been there.
Yeah.
But you also do know part of your music is being there.
Yeah.
And being able to write that and rap that and all that, you know?
No, I'm saying you're going to do that, but sometimes you get caught up too much in that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Especially if you come home from jail, you want to live the life. You want to do this, do that. I mean, it's just when things happen to people, they never expect it to happen. That's why it happened.
Yeah.
When things happen to people, you never expected it to happen. That's why it happened.
Mm-hmm. Chinks would have never went to that hookah spot 4 a.m.
In the morning, man.
In the morning.
By himself.
You know what I'm saying? No, he has security.
He has security?
Yeah. He has security with him and everything.
Well, he got shot. It was in the car, so I mean.
Shot six times in the car. Yeah, he has security with him and everything. It was 4 in the morning, leaving the hookah spot, going chasing the joint on the side of a road. Just like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't expect that to happen. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
So with stuff, when you think about all of the violence that you've seen, were you afraid to sign drill rappers?
Hell no. We was drill before drill.
Yeah.
We was the original drill. Grab a chair. Where the chairs at? Come on,
get a chair for D-Thang.
Yeah, bro.
Because everybody was saying, like, there was a period it felt like labels were about to back away from drill.
We were drill music before drill music. Me and Max B, we had beef with the whole New York.
Yeah. So you don't think drill is a sound. It's just a
lifestyle.
A lifestyle, Chicago, energy.
Yeah, Chicago is like that.
So what is drill, D-Thing? What is drill right now?
Yeah, so go ahead, now man. Drill is like anybody do it. Like you could just come from college and just had a whole good life and just drill rap now. Like niggas just do that now. Mm-hmm. Wasn't like that for me when I was come film me. We had to really do shit like.
But that's the problem, though. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of rap, like you saw Fat Joe say 95% of his lyrics were lies. Not this new generation.
Nah.
Right?
I don't know.
He started drilling, bro.
Okay, you can't lie. That's bad, but you can't lie. I really was rapping what I really lived.
Do you see, like, you got to feel like, you know what? I got to get out the Bronx. The Bronx is crazy.
The craziest shit people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida.
Shit is whack, bro. I'm different now, though. Mm-hmm. I get up, go anywhere I want now. I don't got to stay. So it's different now.
Kenzo, what is drill to you?
To the mic.
I feel like French said, it's a lifestyle thing. Mm-hmm. Like, because, like, I feel like you connect with people through music based off of, like the vibes that they give you and, mm-hmm. like, the feel that their music give you. So, like, if somebody, like you said, if somebody kept rapping and it's, like, you know this person is in college and they're doing drill rap, it's mm-hmm. not really going to stick as much as you know. Like, mm-hmm. French come out here talking about him growing up through the struggle and shit. Like, it's going to be more relatable.
So fucking rappers wise.
I feel like he said.
Yeah, that shit he's really doing. Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I feel about, I feel like he said, it's like a lifestyle thing. It's like what you talk about and like what type of vibe and energy your song or music has is what gives it the drill.
Do you feel like people have to live their lyrics though? Because I want y'all to lie. I don't want, you
know I feel
what I mean?
Like, I feel yes. like. Yes,
you have
and
to?
No, because your music it has to be relatable to stuff to people who.
Because a nigga like me is not gonna jack it. Mm-hmm. Nah, if I know you did not do nothing before, the whole world you got the whole world hype. If
that's
I know
what's going on. No, but best friend,
now you thinking about it in like a doing shit way, but like on some like how you said, French could be capping about fucking rappers' wives, but that's some relatable shit. Somebody out there fucking a rapper wife. Like, you feel me?
So you rap about another nigga lifestyle.
No.
So just rap about another nigga lifestyle.
No, I'm just saying, I'm rap about music is to be relatable.
No, and I never do that.
That's the
don't
perfect
do that.
Balance to have with she. You call him best friend? That's
yeah.
What, yeah, that's a good balance to have her with you, though, because I understand, like, the street part of it, you know what I mean? But you don't only want to appeal to the street, you know what I mean? It's people that look up, that will look up to you, and that looks up to you that is not going to be in the street and still feel like they can do what you do, mm-hmm. but not in the street, though, because everybody ain't got the heart you have. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so she's a great balance to what you just said. You don't feel like that. Don't be. You don't feel like that.
I do a little bit. I do. Okay. I understand.
What does that mean?
I understand.
Because you're a star. Like, I understand. It's bigger than the streets now.
I understand.
But yeah, you feel like you've been through it, so you only respect what people have been through.
Yeah, that feel me? So I don't even care about that. I'm trying to change my life, too, but I don't care about none of that.
Just period.
Drill, none of that no more, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Just being me.
Got you.
And French is the OG. You got to tell him, like, when you see hip-hop under attack the way that it is, you see people getting, you know, lyrics brought up in court. Like, you don't, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to be confessing the things on records.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. I had to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got hit with the Rico, too.
What? Yeah. Oh, that's why you did the three?
Yeah. Mm. That's the reason I stood longer. I was about to come home, bro.
They went through what Thug and them going through at an early age.
Where?
He got a crazy story, because he got a story even with the group that he was with. His man took the gun charge for him. And, like, they got, like, they went through, like, what Big and D-Rock went through, like, at an early age.
Wow.
And, like, they already got, like, a whole documentary, and he's not even, like, 20.
Yeah,
he's not even in the middle of his early 20s. Like, yeah.
Well, that's good you learned that lesson already, though. That's beautiful.
So what's next for y'all? What's next for the artist? Because I know usually you do compilation, and you Coke Boy compilation.
Yeah, we're
going to
do Coke Boy 7. He got he just dropped, like, two singles.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to do a video today, too.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
Nah, he moving. Like,
seriously,
you know,
he came
to my crib.
Songs in, 10
videos. I love it. Yeah, came to my crib in L.A. I go to sleep. I wake up 8 in the morning. I hear all this noise. I'm like, yo, what's happening? Like, y'all just called the camera guy. We're shooting a video. I'm like, yo, bro, it's 8 in the morning.
French is still one of those guys that called me at 6 o'clock in the morning about records and your records and your records. Every couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, mm-hmm. French is going to hit me. And he always say, did your number change? I'm like, no, nigga, my number ain't changed. He always send me a record. Yeah. French is on it, man.
How old
so.
Are you? 18.
19.
Oh, yeah. 19.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all babies.
Yes.
Y'all
they
baby,
doing
that's
it.
Right.
But they doing it. Where you shooting your video at?
I ain't gonna lie. This song right here is like, I had to bring them back, like, to the old me a little bit. Because the way I've been rapping a little bit, I've been trying to change it up. And people want some, like, nah, we need the old D thing back. Like, yeah. I, like, we don't know if he still got it. Like, we don't know if he the same. Like, yeah. He changed. And I just hit him, just go crazy one more time to go some freestyles. I went crazy on that song. No, they going jacked. I'm like, nah, he really back. We'll do that, like, on the block. Bro.
Okay.
Everybody come outside. Do it on the block. Make everybody wear old black dickies.
I think they say that about everybody, though.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you don't sound like the last record.
It's always.
Sound like that.
Not even the last record, like, before I went to jail. Yeah. Now, he's not on that Demon Town no more. Like, nah, he changed, bro. Like,
I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. You evolve with
music. Or then you try to give them a new sound. They're like, oh, no, your core fans. Like, we went to old you back.
Gangsta, bro. Yeah. I'm like, all right, but I'm going to give it to them. They can't say nothing after this one.
Yeah.
After this one, they're going to say, like, nah, he's just different.
But then, look, if you're going to drop a couple of songs, then they're going to be like, we want the old thing back.
The one that you just gave him 2 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only 2 months later. I'm trying to, like, evolve and elevate.
Well, keep doing that. Keep
absolutely.
Doing it, because that's how you grow your audience. You grow bigger. You appeal to other girls and other guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be scared to like, try different stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how you've had longevity, right, French?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Consistent.
Yo, hell yeah.
We say that about French. French sound good on any verse. He go, yo, he could be on a reggae song, a Spanish song, a drill song. Afro song.
Don't try to put me in the box.
Yeah.
Don't try to put me in the box. I took my first chance with Unforgettable. That's my biggest record of my career.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's
That was a risk. You thought that was a chance? That sounds like
before anybody.
When you hear it,
that's
like an undeniable hit.
Nah, bro, that was before anybody was doing
that. People from the streets wasn't doing Afro, bro. Like, what? Yeah, I played it for some people. They was like, you better not put that out. It was like,
that was before that Afro wave.
Yeah, I was like,
what year was that?
Bro, I was like the first person to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why it's the biggest Afro record to ever come out. Like, mm-hmm. and it's the most streamed record to ever come out of New York.
Yeah.
Out of Jay-Z, out of Nas, out of Nicki, out of Cardi. Nobody record streamed more than Unforgettable.
That's crazy.
Because I took a chance with a sound.
That's right.
Is that why you shot it over in Africa?
Yeah, shot in Africa because it was just like, you know, like take it back to
tell him what you said,
man.
Jess.
Love that. I said he shoot a lot of his videos in Africa, yo. I ain't scared.
Stand up for us, man.
You said, why are you always shooting videos in Africa?
All right, that's what's up. I said, I'm going to ask him why he's always shooting videos in Africa.
Yeah, the sun skipped me, but.
Yeah. I like it. I love to see it. You know, you shine a light on them. You shine a light on the artist. You know, it's a whole package deal. I just wanted to know why.
Different, man.
I got he got a record with DeVito coming out. He got drill.
Hey,
drill afro.
I gotta go.
Luca putting that together. Hell yeah.
But they still got you under the microscope though, French. Because didn't they search your PJ?
Yeah,
Columbia.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, but it was like the whole Coke Boy thing.
They probably Googled the name and seen Coke Boy, baby.
it was like you know.
Wow.
And it was in Cali. It was like the capital of cocaine.
Damn.
Yeah.
So they didn't have no reason? They just...
No, they didn't have no reason.
And you couldn't do nothing?
Nothing about it.
God damn.
I just see the dogs walking up, and I'm like, yo, what's going on? Yeah.
You thought it was funny?
Yeah, because I ain't have nothing in there.
That's when you laugh.
Hell yeah.
Well, let's get into a record off the album.
Oh,
you want
two more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Made in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about, you know, just your appreciation for achieving success in America. What does that mean for you?
Man, I mean, being born in Africa, coming here 13, not knowing English is a different hustle than if you're born here and used to the life. I felt like Made in USA is like an immigrant story. It's just coming here with your family,
mm-hmm.
and there's like, you know, your mother, watching your mother struggle and just try to adapt and like adapt to the culture shock and just coming here, especially learning English, not knowing English, but not also just not that. Trying to do the worst fucking job you can do, which is rap.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick the hardest job, you know what I'm saying? You come right to the mecca of hip hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When it was hard to make it, you know what I'm saying? When you had Big Pun down the street and you had like, you know? So I feel like Made in USA was kind of like, that was like one of them stories. Like, then hustling, I'm talking about hustling on there. Like literally getting crack for my cousin and telling him my mother stole it. And my mother seen it and started crying just so I could sell it and buy my own work and start selling work.
Wow.
And it was just like doing little things like coming up and just like, you know, we learned from, you know, Man, shout out to Luke. He back there. He been from my block for like 20 years, so he's seen the struggle. So making it in the USA, you know, it's just something that I'm proud of.
You also, you know, they don't give you enough credit for the community. Wait, we say anything?
I said, nah, they body that 20 years later. Look what they doing. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah. Right.
Hell yeah.
And you don't get enough credit for the community service you do. I mean, this around the world.
Yeah.
You donated 500 canoes.
Yeah, to Makoko. It's crazy. It's like the city is under the water. It's like I've never been nowhere. It's like that. It's like you take a canoe from the bridge side and you stay on the canoe for like a half an hour. Then you just approach this city that's all underwater. Mm. Like, nah, it's crazy. Like, yeah, like half of the cribs under the water. Then like only like the two floors up and people just, nah, the living was crazy when I went there. Nah, it's like, I think like 300,000 people. I don't know how it got like that, but it's one of them wonders of the world.
Oh, she said, was it a flood or something? I'm trying to say it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the history, but it was just a blessing to see that to see that I could help. The same thing with Uganda. We went and opened up a hospital over there. Same thing with Morocco. We went.
1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quick relief one.
Yeah, for Morocco, mm-hmm. Same thing for the Bronx, open up school program. I mean, whenever we get a chance to give, we always going to give back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it was. Was it true that you said that J. Cole was supposed to executive produce?
My first album, yeah. Yeah, J. Cole heard my first album in Miami. We was all in Trina House, and I was playing it for him. And he was like, yo, bro, let me executive produce it. Mm-hmm. Then we was on tour with Club Paradise tour with Drake.
Mm-hmm.
So we all just jumped on tour. But honestly, part of me was like, yo, I'm going to let him just put his name on it. But if I'm going to do an album with J. Cole, I'm going to want J. Cole to do it with me from the beginning so I could benefit from the J. Cole experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I come to him with an album already done. Like, yo, just slap your name on it.
Who you think you have better chemistry with, Cole or Drake? I feel like Drake for something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you like, y'all like Sniper one and two. Y'all go back and forth.
Nah, Drake, Drake, my twin, man. That's my bro. Me and him definitely got better chemistry. Just because, you know, when Drake first came and people didn't really know who he was, he came in, you know, to New York and this and that, and we met up and we met up like again in Miami when I was doing Ross album, and we did Stay Scheming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Drake first heard it when Ross played it for him, and he was like, yo, I heard the whole album, I want to do this joint. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And just like we're building out from Pop Dad to, you know, the whole thing, I felt like it was more natural.
That's crazy. That's two of Drake's best verses. Scheming and Pop Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not definitely. It was moments. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was moments that was crazy.
Who smashed more Kardashians? You or Drake?
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Huh?
Mac and cheese.
What you want to get into? What song you want to hear?
I mean, since we got Drill in the building, let's go to that 41 song.
Okay. All right, well, we appreciate you for joining us.
Man, thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mac and Cheese 5, make sure you get it. It's out today.
Salute to D-Thang, salute to Kenzo B.
Yes.
Yep, and it's the
Breakfast
Club.
For real, New York in the building.
Yeah.
Wake that ass up early in the morning. The Breakfast Club.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.